Chair Reed on how many
work sessions. Yeah, we're not going to hit the record today. Okay. We've got some amendments to deal with.
7 minutes
All right.
Good morning. Welcome to the House Committee on Higher Education, Innovation, and Workforce Development. We've been waiting a little bit because we have a relatively light agenda. Famous last words. I hope you won't make me regret saying that. Two bills and a number of amendments. The plan, based on the paperwork that we have with respect to House Bill 4019, is to consider some amendments. We don't have the paperwork yet to move past that, so we'll consider those amendments. I hope we'll adopt them. 4021, however, is ready to go, so I'm going to take them out of order on the with the unlikely possibility that the paperwork shows up on House Bill 4019. So with that, I'll open the work session on House Bill 4021. Victoria.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4021 requires State Treasurer to conduct study to assess the viability of establishing student loan refinancing program, declares emergency effective on passage. We're looking at the Dash 3 amendments that require the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to participate in the study, specify the subject of the study, remove specification that loan refinancing program exists within the Office of the State Treasurer, and change reporting date from September 1, 2016 to December 1, 2016.
Thank you. So fairly straightforward amendment, Dash 3, and I want to say thanks to the Office of the State Treasurer and to the HEC for working that out. I think it will give the future legislature good information and direction on possible approaches. I know Representative Rayfield is very interested in it as well, and I hope we'll be able to consider that. Representative Gallegos?
Sure. Chair Reed, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated February 3rd, 2016.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 4021. They're dated February 3rd, 2016. Is there any discussion of the motion? Representative Wisnant, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could Dana come? Is Dana the expert on the Dash 3?
I think Dana and Kristen Dennis, or it's a joint product.
From the Treasurer's Office.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, question of Mrs. Richardson.
Please.
Have we, you know, it looks like it's general, but we don't have the who's going to be involved. And I think I mentioned it the first testimony, Mr. Representative Rayfield. Are we going to, will the group include private financial banks or credit unions? Are they going to be part of the?
I think I have my answer, but I'll let them answer. And I think Ms. Dennis did say something about that last time this came up. But please go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely, Chair Reed, Representative Wisnant. Oh, sorry, Kristen Dennis, Oregon State Treasury. When we looked at drafting the amendments, we looked at identifying different approaches, and so I think some of those approaches are certainly going to include private entities as well. The state's limited in terms of how it can use certain funds, so we certainly will kind of identify what some of those potential funds are, but you know, more than likely there will be more flexibility around having private partners involved in some sort of program.
Thank you for that. Mr. Chair, follow up real quick.
Please.
So were they involved in the agreement? I guess the chair said consensus agreement. Were the banks and credit unions involved in that or not?
Chair Reed, Representative Wisnant, we when we discussed the amendments, we just discussed between us how we would approach having a study. We did not identify specific people or specific entities that would be involved. I think we're just looking at how can we get a report together that has all some of this information in one place.
Thank you very much.
So I think also Representative Rayfield, just to follow up on your comment, Representative Rayfield's testimony had some pretty specific ideas around arrangements with the private sector. So I think you can be confident that'll be part of the discussion. I know Representative Rayfield is very interested.
Thank you. I apologize.
That's fine. Not at all.
Mr. Chair, may I comment?
Please.
For the
please.
Record, Dana Richardson, Deputy Director for Legislative and Policy Affairs at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. So the amendments don't specifically call for a work group, but we definitely would reach out to a variety of stakeholders in developing the, you know, looking at the different methodologies.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Correct. So the motion is to adopt the amendments. Is there any further discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing the motion carries, the amendments are adopted. Representative Gallegos, please.
Chair Reed, I move House Bill 4021 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves House Bill 4021 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion on that motion? Representative Nierman, please.
So, thank you, Chair Reed. So, I wasn't here during the public hearing on this, so I'm begging your indulgence to kind of get a couple of licks in on this. So, just a couple of points to make. So, first of all, a college education is really one of the biggest cash cows out there. Of I have a college degree, and that college degree has allowed me to tap into wealth that is just far beyond whatever it costs me to get that degree. So that's one point. The second point I'd like to make is that only about 30-35% of people have college degrees. And so if we're having the state back up these loans or somehow reduce the impact of these loans, what we're asking is for 65 or 70% of the citizens of the state of Oregon to kind of provide a financial backstop to people who've received, again, what's one of the greatest cash cows ever, you know, known to man or beast. It's a college degree is a money making machine. Some are better than others, but anyway. So I hope that when this study gets put together, I hope that's kind of taken into account, that those facts are kind of taken into account. That's all I have to say. I'm going to be a yes on this because it's kind of hard to be against a study, but just I hope the study takes into account those things.
Thank you. Representative Hoyle, please.
I want to thank Representative Nierman for pointing out the value of a college education. And I think, you know, when he and I went to college, I know when I went to community college, it was $367 a semester. Now, that didn't include books, but I could work and pay my rent and go to school and pay for my college education. Went to a private college and paid just under $7,000 a year to get that $7,000 a year to get my degree. And the fact is now, even in a public institution, because my children are in college in Oregon, it costs with room and board nearly $20,000. Per year. So the costs right now for a liberal arts degree are far different than they were when we went to college. And the opportunities aren't necessarily the same. My daughter had said, you know, would I be better off not getting a bachelor's degree and actually getting some kind of a certification? Because the amount of debt, if you have to borrow the money, you could be for a four-year degree in debt for $100,000 or more in some of the in some other schools. So I really think the debt to value ratio is quite different. And what we're doing is we're graduating students out of college who are so far in debt that they don't have the same kind of opportunities to come in to pay off the debt, to buy a home, to start a family. And so I do think that we need to look at it, because that value-debt ratio is substantially different than it was when we were going to school.
Thank you, Representative. Is there further discussion? Representative Wisnett, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate very much the two good representatives' comments about this. I think during the first hearing on this bill, I pointed out the fact that I'm proud to be a part of this committee, because we worked last session very hard to bring down the cost. So, you know, we got to bring down the cost. It doesn't matter what the interest rate is. If we don't get the cost down, mm-hmm. as the good representatives have both talked about, this is not the right way to go. We've got to bring down the cost, and that's and then hopefully interest rates will come down, or we'll find some way to do that. But we've got to find the way. And again, we've looked at textbooks, we've looked at, you know, the promises and all that stuff, and I'm proud to be part of that. But we have to find more ways to bring down the cost. It's going up higher than any other item in our lives, and it's not right. We can find ways to do it. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Hayden, please.
I just have a background question on this, and I agree. Cost of tuition is a continuing concern. There are federally backed student loan consolidation programs. Are there other state-backed student loan consolidation programs?
There are, and I would.
Connecticut and Minnesota.
I was going to say Connecticut. I knew something about. I didn't know about Minnesota. The piece I was going to say was we'd quickly get to the edge of my knowledge about it if we went much farther. Victoria, please feel free to jump in if you know more details. I think generally states are.
And the question is, if so, how do those connect with the federally? How do they both interact with each other?
The limited knowledge I have is more about Connecticut, and I think it stands sort of parallel to the federal programs, that they are intended to go after pieces that the federal approaches do not touch. But that's very cursory knowledge.
So we need to learn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Did I miss anything, Victoria? Anything to add?
Sounds good.
Okay. So we're still on the motion to send to the floor. Any other discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries, and the bill will head to the floor. I will carry unless anyone else expresses a strong desire, and I think Representative Rayfield will probably want to say something too. Okay, so close the work session on House Bill 4021 and open the work session on House Bill 4019. Victoria.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 4019 clarifies the duties of the Executive Director of the Office of Student Access and Completion, excludes Oregon Community Colleges, public universities, and Oregon Health and Science University from definition of school in degree authorization provisions rather than exempt institutions from these provisions. We have -2 amendments, which double from 5 to 10 the number of years a school must have deferred degrees in Oregon in order to qualify for exemption from ORS 348.594 to 348.615. Clarify that schools granted religious exemptions submit annual statement to Higher Education Coordinating Commission and establish effective dates. Those are the -2s. The -3s allow individual development account savers to utilize 529 college savings plans, and I'm not sure that's accurate. Somebody's going to come up and explain that better. And the -4s add dependents of residents who left state within previous 5 years for military or other service to those eligible to receive in-state tuition under ORS 350.290.
Thank you. So I'd like to invite Dana and Mr. Fisher up to talk about two of these amendments. While they're getting settled, it's worth saying, I think, in general terms, that the -3 and -4 amendments are the result of our rather accommodating relating to clause here, relating to higher education. I would say both of these, and I'll do a very poor job after they finish of trying to stand in for Representative Buckley on the -4s. I think they can both be described as technical fixes on bills that we passed before but didn't get exactly right. So, Dana, you want to tell us about the -2s first, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Dana Richardson, Deputy Director for Legislative and Policy Affairs at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. The -2s do leave intact the underlying bill, so these are add-on provisions. And I would start with the new Section 7 that you see there, and this was actually a cleanup that I mentioned when I first testified on the bill as introduced. And it would clarify that for some institutions that are exempt, that rather than sending paperwork to OSAC, the Student Access and Completion Office, that they would send them to the HEC and our Office of Degree Authorization. So this statute was all squared away in 2011, and then it accidentally got kind of changed in 2013 by House Bill 3120, but I've kind of run all the trap lines to confirm that was really just an oversight. And since this statute, it's not just submitting paperwork, it also allows the HEC to provide, to suspend or revoke the exemption under certain circumstances. It is important that it resides at the HEC so that our Office of Degree Authorization could attend to it, as opposed to OSAC, which really doesn't have any knowledge in dealing with this part of the statute. I hope that's clear. I don't think I could have done better. I'm sorry.
That's my name.
The previous change you see just right in line 3 of the bill, and this is less technical, it's somewhat substantive. It changes from 5 to 10, the period of time that certain institutions would have needed to have operated in Oregon in order to receive the exemption. So this is, certain schools would need to establish a longer track record to receive the exemption. I do have our director of private post-secondary education here if we have additional questions about these types of schools and what this would do. I would note the bill does not have an E clause, So this won't take effect until January 2017. There is one school that will pass the five-year threshold between now and January, and so it would be important to allow that existing school to qualify. There's no intent to pull back any existing exemptions.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions for Dana before we hear about the dash threes? Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Chair Reed. Members of the committee, my name is Ryan Fisher. I'm here today on behalf of Neighborhood Partnerships, which is a nonprofit which administers the Individual Development Account program throughout the state. The Dash 3 amendments are brought to you today because, as Chair Reed mentioned, the generous relating clause associated with this bill, we had been working with Legislative Revenue Office since November on a technical fix to a bill that you saw or a bill concept that you saw last session relating to individual development accounts. You may remember the testimony of folks who come in savings accounts and are able to get that savings match so that they're able to go to college or buy a first home or start a small business, as well as a few other asset classes that they're able to use. What we discovered, one of the things that the bill last session that we were working on did was to allow 529s to be used. We've had that authorization since 2000, but there have been some technical issues with how the accounts work that have prevented us from being able to do that. We fixed that statute in one place this past session, but when we got into rulemaking, we discovered there was a second place that also needed a very short fix. We were working with legislative revenue on that, and then on Monday, the beginning of session, we discovered that the relating to tax credits relating clause was not going to work, so they asked us to find relating to higher education, which brought us here. There's written testimony from Executive Director Janet Byrd, and she's also here if there are questions that I can't answer, but I'm happy to give it my best shot.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Fisher? I don't see any. Very good. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And trying to stand in for Representative Buckley, the Dash 4s, remember a bill that we also passed last session that had to do with in-state tuition for veterans, for members of the armed services and non-military national service. We missed an important phrase, or is the dependent of, so that the in-state benefits would apply not only to that person but to their children. The Dash 4 amendments add that phrase back in. So that's what I meant about they're all just corrections to what we had already approved. So we have these three amendments. Unless something has changed, Victoria, we don't yet have the paperwork.
Correct.
So my hope would be that we could adopt the amendments, then we'll carry over the amended bill until we get the paperwork, and hopefully be able to do that on Wednesday. Representative Gallegos, please.
Okay. Chair Reed, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated February 4, 2016.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 4019. They're dated February 4, 2016. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett, please.
Could the committee staffer please summarize 2? We didn't talk about 2.
Actually, we did. Those are the ones that Dana described.
Oh, for those?
So I did this on my own notes. Dash 2 are the ones that Ms. Richardson
puts it
described.
Under Higher Education Coordinating Committee.
Right.
Okay.
Dash 3
you.
Are the ones that Mr. Fisher talked about with the IDAs.
Dash
4s are the Representative Buckley's ones.
Okay.
So Dash 2 amendments are the motion. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Dash 2 amendments are adopted. Representative Gaggers, please.
Chair Reed, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated February 5, 2016.
Thank you. Representative Gaggers moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 4019. They're dated February 5, 2016. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Dash 3 amendments are adopted. Representative Gaggers, please.
Chair Reed, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments dated February 5, 2016.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 4019, dated February 5th, 2016. Representative Wisnett, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Dash 4, I think, is following on to the tuition equity for bill that we passed that said these students would not be eligible for scholarships. And we passed it last session saying they are. Now, what is this one doing?
Representative Wisnett, this is the danger of not being the primary author, but I'll do my best, and Victoria can back me up here. My recollection is that this dealt with the circumstance that a veteran, a person in the military, or in a non-military national service sort of obligation, who was a resident of Oregon and left the state as a result of that service. They were relocated, maybe not of their own choice, but had the intent of being here to make sure that they and their dependents would continue to enjoy the benefit of in-state tuition because they didn't choose to leave. It was their national service that took them away from the state. When we did that, we missed the or is the dependent of, that's the phrase that's added in the amendment, so that benefit would apply not only to the person, but to the person's children. I got that reasonably in the ballpark. Okay. Does that make sense, Representative Wisnett?
Mr. Chair, I'd kindly request the committee defer on, it's not going to slow us down. Can we defer on the dash four till I could review it further?
Okay. We can do that. So we'll, Representative Gagas, would you be willing to withdraw your motion for today, and we'll give Representative Wisnett a chance to
do
review
it? Do I have to? yes, okay.
Okay, so
it's not slowing anything down.
We will hold on the dash four amendments so you get a chance to review those. My hope is that you'll have a chance to do that.
This one, which one goes to Ways and Means, this one?
I don't think, well, we don't have the paperwork for any of them, so I don't think this one goes to Ways and Means either. These are both, once we get the paperwork, this will go straight to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't have the paperwork yet, but it will go to the floor. So with that, that's all that we can do on House Bill 4021. So I'll close the work session on that and carry over House Bill 4021 until Wednesday. And we should have the paperwork. Hopefully we'll have a chance to review and be okay with it by then. And that takes care of our agenda for today. We'll start again at 8:30 on Wednesday. Anything else to come before the committee, Representative Johnson?
I'm just curious how we were able to remove the subsequent referral to Ways and Means at the committee.
I'd like to practice that technique.
Actually, we did have Mr. Chair, Representative Please. Johnson, we did have permission from the Speaker when the fiscal came back minimal. I requested permission to remove that. That's how
it was a victorious slide of hand.
yes. I like the idea of being able to do that on my own, too.
Yeah, that's a neat trick.
Anytime you get a fiscal back that's
minimal,
Victoria. Go ahead and request the subsequent.
Okay. You're good. Anything else? See you at 8:30 on Wednesday. Thank you. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
8:30 on Wednesday. Thank you. We're adjourned.